Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lost Skills Podcast, where we help you learn the skills you need to survive modern life. Today's episode is going to be how to get the most money when you sell your car. Just going to talk about a few things today about how to get the most money when you sell a used car. I did the topic and I still have to put it up, which this one will probably go up first, I'm thinking, because I have a little explaining to do about some things. But I was going to do a sponsors today, but guys, I want to talk to you about something I want to do. As you know, I don't have any regular sponsors to do episodes on the show. And I want to find all the people that have projects that they work on, that they sell, or you know, products they make, or services they offer. I want to put those in a directory, kind of like the Survival Podcast one. And here's the reason why. I spent so much time with the membership area trying to make that, you know, a source of income, and talking to all these companies and calling people on the phone and dealing with them. And in the end, it was something that people weren't really all that excited about. So I want to get the people that listen to my podcast. I want to make a page just for them so they can sell their stuff, so everybody can find each other. Just people that, you know, are in the Lost Skills Podcast community. And I want to set that up and get some people on this page. And then if I approach other people, or if they approach me, then I could tell them I have a directory page. And I don't know, maybe the basic directory page will be free and everybody will be vetted by me. And then if you want advertisement on the show, it's, you know, an occasional mention on the show is, I don't know, $10 a year or something like that. I don't know. I've been kicking the idea, but I want to do the page for my members, people that listen to my podcast for free. I want to do all of that and just get that done for everybody. You know, that way, if you're like, oh, I want to buy some soap, well, I could go on the page and find Nikki's Etsy shop and go get some soap. Or if I want something cool for my wife that's tie-dyed or something like that, I can go over to Serenity Store. And those are a couple of people I got to talk to yet, but I'm sure they will. I want to do stuff like that and make it that way. And, you know, if someone wants to pitch in and get some advertising for those people, it's going to be super cheap. That's the best way I think I can do it. I just talk to all these companies that have food storage and all this and that, and it's just like, yeah. I don't know. It's just a pain, and nobody wanted to pay for advertising on the main site. I don't know. I was really cheap compared to most other websites, and it was no interest. So, okay, with that being said, I'm going to end that right here. If you have a business or a website where you sell things, stuff like that, make stuff, something you want to promote, get a hold of me, lostskillspodcast@gmail.com. I'm just going to keep that email address because I changed hosts, so the Jeff at Lost Skills Podcast does not work anymore. And I don't feel like I'm going to set it up, because in 3 years, if they don't give me a good deal, I'm just going to change providers again and transfer everything over. So, yeah. That's the reason for that. Just lostskillspodcast@gmail.com. Alrighty, everybody. Oh, it's getting hot in here already. It's Wisconsin. I got to turn the heat on now. It sucks. Today's episode is going to be about how to make the most money when you sell a used car. Now, I have sold a few cars, and I've sold every car I had. I've sold them for a decent amount of money. I had the Oldsmar Vada. I sold that for, I think it was $1,200. It had 245,000 miles on it. I sold the 99, or no, my wife's 02 Oldsmobile Intrigue. I sold that for $800. And that one was a harder sell. But I just want to talk about it, give it you, you know, my experiences, give you some tips and some tricks and stuff. You know, one of the first things you could do when you get a car to help you resell this car later on is keep good service records. Get a file cabinet folder, write on, you know, if you have a file cabinet, which everybody should have a file cabinet, write on, you know, get a folder, put it in there, write, you know, 99 Oldsmar Vada. Every time you go to the store, you buy parts, you stick the receipt in the thing, and, you know, try to keep them in chronological order from when you got the vehicle till the end, you know, put the oldest stuff furthest back, that kind of thing. And it really does help. When I bought my 98 Chevy that I'm driving now, I paid $800 for it from the company I bought it from, and they had a huge file on it. It was probably an inch and a half thick of all the stuff that's been changed and replaced. And I've put like 60,000 plus miles on the truck, and I really haven't had to do too much to it, just because they had replaced a whole bunch of parts before I bought it. I put brakes, you know, the minor stuff on there. I haven't had to replace any major parts. Yeah, so keep a file. Keep, you know, when you buy stuff online, print the page out, stick it in there. And then when you go to sell your vehicle, the person's like, "Wow, that's kind of a lot of money for it," or I'll give you, say you want $1,000, oh, I'll give you $400. Well, you can pull out this file and say, "This is all the parts that I've just recently put on the car." I could go back 6 months to a year to all the new parts that are on there, and I have more than $400 worth of parts on there. You know, I have like $800 worth of parts in this car, so I'd like to get $1,000. And it makes the sell to them easier. You know, when I'm a prepper, so, you know, obviously I have a few parts for some of my vehicles laying around. Like, I buy oil filters by the thing, and, well, I buy extra filters. I don't just buy one. I buy, you know, parts here and there. Sometimes the old part I replace as a preventative maintenance measure, and the old part is still serviceable, where it would get you by in a pinch. But anyway, back to the file. We'll talk about that in a minute. I got ahead of myself there. But yeah, you can, you know, do that, and then you can show them. The other thing is, like I just said, is if you have spare parts, say, the idler pulley on my Bravada, it went bad. Well, I bought a new idler pulley and a new bearing. They come together as a set from the auto parts store. Well, at the place I used to work, you could buy parts. You know, they would sell you stuff. So I had them order me a new bearing, and with their discount, it was like $4. So they got me the new bearing, pressed it in at work, and I put it in. Now I had a spare serviceable part. What if that ever happened again? Because the last time it happened, my wife was 40 miles from home, and I had to go get one and then drive there and put it on and then put a belt on because it shredded the belt when the pulley went bad. You know, it's just some preventative measures there. I had an extra belt for that vehicle. I had, I had extra wheel sensors for the ABS. A lot of times when you change the wheel bearings, they give you new wheel sensors. Well, a lot of times you don't need new wheel sensors. So I put all the wheel sensors in in the parts box, and then when I sold it, I gave them the wheel sensors. Trying to think about what else I gave them. There was some other parts. Well, I know there was other stuff. But I gave them, you know, 5 or 6 different parts that, you know, that I replaced. They were still serviceable. I told them, you know, you could, if you're mechanically inclined, you could put this on the pinch. If you want them, fine. If not, I'll just throw them away. A lot of times they'll take them because they could take them to a friend that works on cars or someone they know that's reasonable. A guy can throw the part on there and they can get going. You know, having those few used parts, you know, if it's the part is, you know, questionable, I wouldn't keep it unless you foresee it being a problem. You know, just saying. My old Intrigue, when I sold it, I had a brand new wheel bearing in the box yet. I hadn't put on. I gave them that. I gave them some other parts. Trying to think of what else I gave them. I gave them a bunch of parts too. Oil filters and stuff. I usually have 2-3 oil filters laying around. A lot of times I have extra oil filters and I run synthetic oil, so in some of my vehicles, not all. The ones that leak, it doesn't pay to put the expensive oil in because it leaks. Sometimes fixing the leak isn't really worth it, which was where that Intrigue kind of got to. It ran synthetic for a long time. But yeah, I gave them extra oil filters. I know there was extra parts. And I gave them the whole record of the vehicle maintenance. Like when I sold that vehicle, before I sold it, I had put new struts. Yeah, let's talk about the Intrigue. I put 4 new struts on it. I put a new power steering pump. I repaired the power steering line. It was a low pressure side, so I replaced the part of the steel hose with a hydraulic hose. The heck else? I'd replaced the rear wheel bearings. I replaced one of the front wheel bearings. And, you know, the thing is like, I buy a lot of parts online. Like, I bought the struts and they were $50 a piece, I think. And I put $200 with the struts on it. Well, if you buy one strut at the parts store, it was $250 for one strut. So, I bought them online, I replaced it. Now, do I recommend doing a repair that big before you sell the car? Not entirely, but it had a broken spring on one of the struts, so I had to replace one. If you're going to replace one, you might as well replace both. It had 240,000 miles on it on the original struts, so it really wasn't worth not replacing them. My wife was planning on keeping the car and looking for another car, and then ended up not keeping it because she found a car right away. You know, if you have high mile parts that, you know, if you fix it, it'll add some value to the car, and it's not too hard of a fix. Those are things that you should do. A lot of times you see people try to sell cars with bald tires, which I don't really get. You know, I've seen cars where the tires, they look like racing slicks, and they wanted $1,500 for the car. And it would have been easier for them to get their $1,500 if they would have went down to their local tire shop. A lot of times, their tire shop will have sets of tires where, you know, they're from two different cars, but they're the same kind of tire. The tread's all the same, where they get two good ones in the back, and then they'll keep those and put them on the rack, and then they get two more from a different car that are good, and they put them there, and they have a decent set of tires. They're not new by any means, but they're, you know, like, you know, 50% tread or something. And, you know, a lot of times you buy those tires, they'll charge you $20 a piece. They'll charge you like 10 to put them on. So, I mean, for $150, you have a new set of tires on your car. Well, a newer set of tires. And you could say, hey, the tires are in decent shape. You know, stuff like that. I mean, that all increases the value of the car. Sometimes you have to put a little money in to get a little money back. You know, it's the thing where people try to sell a piece of, you know, basically junk car, and they're like, I want $1,500. I wouldn't give you $1,500 for that. That thing's ready for the crusher. You know, but where you put a little bit of effort or time, if you're like me, where you can do this stuff yourself, a lot of it, it's just your personal time and a little bit of money for parts. You know, a lot of vehicles have super cheap brakes where you could just go and get brakes. Oh, that's a lot of apples. I just saw two car trailers go by with utility trailers go by with apples in them for deer hunting. So, I mean, you know, like brake pads, you know, a lot of times you'll see a car for sale and it needs brakes. It's like, really? Brakes are one of the easiest things that you could do. And I don't know. You should just change them. You can change them yourself if you take a little bit of time. If you want to see how to change brakes, go to my YouTube channel. You know, just search for Lost Skills Podcast. It's in there. I think it's under repair videos. Go look. I do a video on how to change brakes. It's basically the basics are 90% the same for almost all vehicles. Maybe the bolts or the fasteners will be different, but the principles are pretty much the same. Like for my S10 pickup I used to have, and my Bravada actually, you could buy the cheapest brake pads for $10 a piece, or $10 a set. You know, $10 for the front, $10 for the back, four pads. Why not just do that, put them on, and then say, hey, I've put new brakes on it. You know, it's a cheap little fix to increase the value. It's just like a home. There's some things that you could do that are cheap to bring the value up. There's some things in a home you could do to sell it. If you do that, you're going to lose a lot of money. But, you know, a lot of times to sell a house, a coat of paint goes a long way, inside or out. Yeah, so that's just another thing that you can do. And the last and the very, you know, least thing that you could do is just, you should do, not could do, should do, is be honest about everything that's wrong. I don't like to sell a car to someone and lie about what's wrong and then have them mad at you, especially if they're from your local area. you don't want to get a reputation around town about, you know, being the person that screws people over when you sell a vehicle. Because let's face it, you're probably going to sell more than one vehicle in your life. And you never know, that right person could come along and you could want to sell a vehicle, and their friend might be the person you sold the vehicle to 10 years ago. You know, just saying. So that's another thing. Like when I sold my Intrigue, the front right wheel sensor kept having a malfunction. Well, it wasn't the sensor, it was the wires that go to the sensor, and I fixed that like two times. So, you know, the wiring got old, it got brittle, and it broke. Well, I fixed it a couple times, a couple of breaks in it, and patched it all up. Well, I told the guy, I said, hey, the wheel, it says that there's a problem with the ABS. The ABS, the sensors are fine, but it's the wiring from the ABS to the sensor. I know there's a plug in there. You could buy the part for like $50 and put it on. I just don't want to mess with this car anymore. I've been working on this car for years. And just, you know, I've messed with this ABS about four or five times. If I'm going to keep it, I'm going to change that part, and then I'm going to charge more. Or you could save, you know, I'll sell it to you for a little bit cheaper, and you can get it fixed. And a lot of times you can do that too. What else did I tell him about that car? Oh, that sometimes the windows were temperamental on it. Sometimes the windows on that car, certain types of weather, the windows wouldn't roll up and down. I could never really figure it out. It wasn't the switch. I think it might have been the motor. If moisture was making the motor not work, or there was some problem. Like, it would get cold out and the motor would work, but in the hottest heat of summer, you couldn't roll the windows down in the car. It was really, really a pain in the ass. And I replaced the switches and stuff. Yeah, I told him that, you know, I changed some wheel bearings in the car, and I gave him that spare. I said, I haven't gotten to this one yet. And I told him which one it was. I said, here's the bearing. It comes with the car. That way you don't have to pay $200 for a bearing at the parts, at the mechanic. You know, stuff like that, you know, just being honest and open with the person and telling them what the deal is goes a long way towards making a deal. So yeah, I mean, I've never had a problem with selling a vehicle. I mean, I sold an S10 that time. I had a 92 S10 that the body was basically falling off of it. It was rotten. I sold it for the four-wheel drive and everything. Mechanically, it worked awesome. Holy cow, they took a whole building down. Oh, somebody must have bought the space to develop it. Anyway, the body was pretty shot. It was a vehicle that was in dire need of repair, body-wise. But mechanically, you know, the motor ran good. It had like 180,000 miles on it. It was in good shape. The 4.3 Chevy goes a long, long ways. And I sold that one for, I think it was $600, and the guy also traded me a running motor out of a 18-horse motor out of a garden tractor, because I kind of said I needed one while we were talking, and he goes, I got one, I'll trade, you know, knock some money off. So I did. I mean, there's always that avenue, too. If you can't get the price you want, sometimes you can trade some value for things you do want. And yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if in a perfect world, if you could just barter to get rid of vehicles, that's the best, because then you don't have to pay any taxes. Except in Wisconsin, where they say that, you know, you got to pay taxes on the value, which if you give the vehicle to the guy and he gives you something else, you could just say, I gave it to him. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me do a little bit of explaining about where I've been since I have a little bit of time. I do apologize, everybody that listens. I hope you stick with me. 2017 has been a horrible, shitty year for me. Things happened. I almost got killed at that one job. It was a serious injury for sure. And it's just, I started a new job. I've been busy. I work a lot of overtime. And in there, I haven't had time to sit down, edit, and do all this stuff that I usually like to do. It's getting better, getting used to the things I'm doing, and you know, being a new person, I'm trying to make a good impression. So sometimes I get home, I'm tired, and I don't really feel like editing podcasts and stuff like that. And another problem is I've kind of been having like writer's block. It's been kind of a pain in the ass. I've been having problems coming up with topics and stuff, and like I said, I just haven't been working on things like I should, and I'm going to try to get at that this fall, this winter, and make some more podcast episodes. Hopefully, if I can get some inspiration and some motivation, I can catch up on some of those episodes that I did make, or did want to make. It's just, like I said, it's been a hectic year, changing a couple jobs and stuff, so please bear with me. Law Skills Podcast is not going anywhere. If anything, it should be better. So, yeah. Well, I suppose, guys, I will talk to you later. And please keep listening. And I hope you guys enjoy the show. Bye.